Okay, good morning. Today's class is in the success of Yikutiel, Yehuda Mordechai ben Gittel Rivka. He should have success in everything he does. Also, Lushma Yerkhan Adin Gedalia, and success in Yerushalayim Lusheva Nagadi Obn Lusheva, Emner Lusheva Shepherd Lusheva Reina Malka Vito Basham. This class is also in the merit of the soldiers and the hostages should come home. Please share and rate the podcast. May in LA and June in New York. God willing, we're going to do the Parkis event again. So today's class, we're going to do a very, very famous Torah lesson 24 in the Likutei Moran. There was a very, very heartbreaking video that my uncle sent me. My uncle Jimmy Saka, he went on a mission to Israel, and he had the merit of sponsoring a widow's bris. So you can imagine, you know, she lost her husband, and she had to throw. Obviously, now she gave birth, and they threw a bris. So you could just see that imagine being there, and you know the father's passed away, and you could see the brokenness in the crowd. But at the end of the day, it went from brokenness to joy. So the beginning of the thing was brokenness, and then joy came afterwards. So it reminded me that this is pretty much exactly our life. It starts with the brokenness, and then joy follows. That's why it's extremely important not to get depressed. But that broken heart, after broken heart comes joy. And that's the power of a nation. Like, we're all broken, but that's exactly where the light comes in. And that's a very, very important message of Reb Nachman. That the importance of simcha, because you could tell me, how could you have simcha, how could you have joy in a bris like that, in a joy like that? It's exactly what you need to do. Because that's exactly how you defeat your enemies. The whole purpose of your enemies today is to completely knock you out, make you depressed, lose, game over. And that's exactly the opposite of what we have to do. And even though it's not a logical thing, how could you have simcha at a bris? But at the end of the day, the bris started. You can see how the bris started. Completely, people were just broken. And next, at the end of the day, we're dancing and clapping and singing. It was just an incredible shift of emotions. And that's really what happens in our lives. First, we have the brokenness, and then the joy comes afterwards. And this is why it's extremely, extremely important that joy will always follow if you handle the brokenness well. And this is very, very all connected to the importance of joy. Joy should be the key to everything. Joy should be the key to everything. And today, it's not enough that, you know, joy, like anything else, you know, the grass is greener where you water it. You know, the joy is greener. The joy in your life is where you put attention to it, where you put intention to it, and that's really, really the key. It's not this relationship will give me more joy. That it's wherever you sit and put the time into joy, because whatever's going to happen, you are going to get tested in that area of your life, and this is exactly very close to this whole Purim concept that. The whole concept of Purim is we're drinking, we have to drink, not because we need to drink, it's because we keep on thinking we know something. We keep on thinking, you know, we're giving certain meanings to things. We have a very limited mindset. So sometimes you need something just to blow your brain, to get you out of your brain. And that's where miracles happen, when you stop limiting your thoughts. So Reb Nachman says here, an incredible concept. So like we said before, I'm learning Torah, but it doesn't bring me joy, right? People tell you they learn Torah, or a lot of people have left Judaism. You know, a lot of people left Judaism because they were in a very strict, you know, strict religious environment, and all of a sudden they were, you know, their parents didn't have happiness, and like, why would I, you know, what is this? This is not for me. Why would I want this? So it's not so much religion first. It's first joy, then religion. It's so important, because if you have religion without joy, you're going to lose every customer, pretty much. So Reb Nachman, so this is why the emphasis is so much on joy. Reb Nachman says in lesson 24, he says, no, there is a light higher than nefesh, ruach, and neshama. What does it mean? There's a light higher than we know that there's five parts of the soul. But there's the highest of all of them. We know that the five parts of the soul are the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and yechida, the soul. There's one that's higher than everything. That's the light of the infinite one. That's the light of Ein Sof. So like anything else, the your job is really, really not to expect something from what you do. It's to come in there with the right attitude. It's not if I come in there with joy, I'm bringing joy into my prayers, and then my prayers all of a sudden will bounce back the light to me. But if I'm coming there with very low energy, I'm not going to get any energy back. You understand? You have to come in there with joy. You have to come in there with a better attitude. And again, joy is not, we don't need reasons to be joy. We can, the whole point of joy and faith go next to each other. The whole point of faith is I can think more positively for absolutely no reason. That's what faith allows you to do. It's above your intellect. Your intellect is stopping you. Your intellect is the problem. Faith is above the intellect. You understand? I could think positively for absolutely no reason. I don't need a reason. I could just put myself in that state. So when you do that, you that's the whole point of bittul. Bittul is surrendering. Surrendering to a much higher light that you have no idea. But the intellect is constantly dragging you down. Unless your intellect is working for you. When, as you get older and you start becoming more wise, your intellect actually helps you. But in the beginning, you really, really, really have to work that your faith has to be higher than intellect. Because otherwise, you're always going to rationalize everything. Well, why should I pray? I wasn't happy yesterday. Or why should I, do this favor, that person? Or why should I hang out with that person? I got nothing out of it. You're always going to think that the past is going to repeat the future. So you're going to say, why should I do it? Why should I work out if yesterday I didn't feel better when I worked out? That doesn't mean you won't feel better tomorrow. Do you understand? So when we use rationality, we're always saying the past is going to lead the future, so forget it. It's not, this is completely the opposite approach. The right approach should be, what am I bringing into my Judaism? What am I bringing into my prayers? What am I bringing in? And what you bring into it, you get light out of it. So that's what's extremely important. Don't just sit there and be a receiver. Go, come in there with giver. Give your creator power. Give your creator strength. As it says, there's a pasuk that says, give God strength. What do you mean, give God strength? What, does God need strength? Yes, when you are able to make an arousal below, there's an arousal on high. So he's saying here that although the intellect cannot grasp this light, the intellect cannot grasp the light of the infinite. It's so above your limited mindset. And he says that it's even higher a person can get. When a person does joy, when he does simple things with joy, he can get to the highest level of consciousness. That means by doing the simplest things with joy, you can get, let's say I want to give charity with joy, that can give me a higher high than taking cocaine. Yes or not, believe it or not. If you really have the intention, oh my God, what an opportunity for this to do this. Yeah. Obviously, all of us were in such, our moods, this one's thinking about this one. It's not the mitzvah. It's what we're coming in with. We're not really purifying. This is why in the times, people used to prepare an hour to do something. You understand? Because the preparation to connect to the light, not just show up in this. And today, we have to do a little bit better of a job of showing up better, because a lot of times is we're showing up with our own reflections and our projections, and we're saying, well, what's wrong with that person? You get me? And that's, it's very similar to that. You're angry, you're upset, and you're saying, why is that person so angry at me? Angry. At the end of the day, it's you're coming in with that energy. Our job is to clean out that energy. And this is why Nachman says that when you do a simple mitzvah with joy, that can get you to the highest. That's like a category 5 joy. So there's a category 1 joy. There's a category 2 joy. For example, there's a category 1 joy. A category 1 joy could be going to a cold plunge, right? That's a physical joy. Category 2 joy could be, doing a, breathing meditation for an hour, That's a category 2 joy. Then there could be, a category 3 joy where you're actually, you do a favor for somebody, or category 4 joy where you accomplish a goal and you hit it. Category 5 joy is beyond your logic and understanding. This joy is higher than any other joy that you can get, even through drugs, even through anything else. It's a higher joy than anything because it's the joy of the infinite one. It's connecting to the light of the infinite. So you see today that anytime you have energy, or anytime you're very pumped, it's because you're connected to the light of the infinite one. Obviously, it's just it stays, but it leaves you. It's not a permanent thing. But that's technically what we have. And Rav Nachman says, when we don't have joy, then the evil forces come to you. I mean, as soon as a person does not have joy, a malik, the evil forces come to and Reb Nachman says that when a person feels sorrow, when he feels lack, when he doesn't feel joy, he's likely going to come to desires, particularly the two major ones, money and sex. As Reb Nachman says, these two lusts are all drawn from sorrow and depression. As Reb Nachman includes, look what happened in the flood. What happened in the generation of the flood? The two major crimes were theft and immorality. So you'll always see gambling and sexual issues always together. Those come in a pair. That's why a lot of people go to GA and they just discuss the gambling issue. They're not discussing the other issue. You understand? Because usually how it works with an addiction is if you could fix, it's like Reb Nathan writes it incredible. He says, it's like a matzah, right? You break the matzah. Okay, you fix this one, but now you have another one. So yes, you don't have this addiction anymore, but now you have that addiction. Where prayer transforms you, gets rid of them all, gets rid of them because it puts you in a higher consciousness. So you could see a lot of people, yeah, I'm not gambling, I'm not doing this anymore, but then they end up doing this. If you're not making a spiritual awakening, it's just the addiction, all it does is just transforms into something else. Where you don't think it's bad, but yes, it's not. You're not going to lose money, but you're losing your soul, etc. So that's where he's saying here, because if you're not happy, all evil forces are the acts of excess. They correspond to sorrow, and it says in all sorrow there's excess. That means whenever we're sorrow, you're going to always look for excessive things. That's the net. That basically, the more spiritual you are, the less physical things you're going to need to make you happy. The less spiritual you are, the more physical things you're going to need to make you happy. You understand? It's like a hungry ghost. You can never feed it. So that's how it works. In all sorrow, there's excess. So excess itself leads to that. Reb Nachman says then here that Reb Nelson writes that joy increases one's mental abilities. So if you want to, the key to mental health is faith. Your mental health today is very connected to your spiritual health. If you tell me today, well, how's your mental health? I'm going to ask you, how's your spiritual health? What's your spirituality look like? That is very connected to mental health. Because otherwise, if there's no spirituality, what do you have? You have obsessive control disorders, you have depression, anxiety. I mean, what, in this world, what is there not to be anxious about? I mean, just look at the presidents, look what's going on. I mean, what is there not to be anxious about? How could you not be anxious? That's... You're more abnormal not to be anxious. You know, you see this, oh my God, this is my president. How can I not be anxious about this? Two wars and two this and chaos that I have no God. I'm left to this world of just, you know, politics and people. Yes, you would absolutely be crazy not to be anxious. Because again, faith allows you to think greater than you feel. Faith allows you to put yourself in a better moment. And this is one of the most important lines that you need to understand. The exile today, because of the real exile that we're in today, okay, represents when we are doing things without joy. That is the exile. That makes our father, for example, if you imagine you taking over your father's business, and you took over your father's business and you destroyed it, you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting your father. So the practicality of this is that today, when we are serving God, when we don't have joy, that is blemishing the faith. It's blemishing the whole system. And that brings major pain to heaven. And that is the exile today. That is the sorrow today. Because what happens today, we all do this. I used to do this a lot. I don't do this as much today. But we seem to all of a sudden, when we have one problem in one area, it all of a sudden affects everything else. Okay? If we just kept the problems in one area, that would be... If you just kept business problems in the office, wonderful. But your business problems are affecting your spirit, the way you pray. Your business problems are affecting the way you charity. Your business problems are affecting your marriage and your anger. And then obviously, this is the way you want to basically, you know, tell God, you know, I'm not doing it. You're not helping me, I'm not helping you. So it's we all do this. So this is the exile today. That we walk around with a lot of sadness, and we're doing mitzvot with sadness. right? And you see this. This is not, when you go to synagogues, you don't feel pumped. You don't feel, wow, what a light, what a joy. Some do, some don't. You don't feel, some of them, you feel judgment. You feel, you feel rote, you feel robotic. Like, why would I want this? And that is the greatest exile today. The greatest exile is when you don't have a heart and you're serving God with lack of joy. Forget what you are. Forget what how religious you are. When you cannot, when you are just doing this as tradition and you're just doing this to check the box and there's no joy, that brings the exile. Because at the end of the day, the whole point that God gave us the Torah and we're fighting, look what we're doing. God gave us Israel. Look what we're doing in the world to keep it. And look how we're treating it. So when we don't respect ourselves and we don't take care of the Torah ourselves, then what happens? The other nations now have energy. And this brings a desire. So if I just told you that the worst thing we could do is walk around with lack of joy doing what we do with mitzvot, what is the greatest thing you could do? Is actually doing things with mitzvot. That's why you get such high energy from it. You get it? One brings you to complete the opposite, and the other one brings you to high energy. That's why there's always the verse that says, depart from evil and do good. Like, it doesn't mean because I have to stay there. I have to be able to constantly shift and be able to do, I could do one positive act and that could change my whole mood today. Let's say I'm in a bad mood. And let's say all of a sudden I can give somebody a nice word and give them encouragement, my mood completely can change. One good deed has the power to extinguish all the darkness in the day. So that's why we always have to find a way to grab it. Today, when we're tired, what do we grab? We grab coffee. So what you need to do is you need to grab a positive action. You got it right? Many times when we're tired, another person grabs a Snickers bar. You get me? We're always trying to change the mood. But we have to ask ourselves, why am I in such a bad mood? Why am I? Again, try to understand why you're in such a bad mood. Instead of just trying to change your mood all the time. Ask yourself, why? What am I focusing on, etc.? And that's that. And he says exactly why. He says the exile of the Shekhinah. And this is the benefits of waking up. This is the benefits of waking up at midnight or around that time to cry out with the divine presence, the way at Hatzot. Because when you're doing that, you're sharing God's pain. And you're praying for the world. You understand? It's extremely important. You need to pray for people. Because there's a lot of, again, there's a major mental health issue today. What's happening? People are, there's a major anxiety, there's major depression, and there's a lack of faith. So these people are, their minds are in exile. So therefore, they're not doing anything with any kind of joy or any kind of feeling because their minds are in exile. And they don't have a settled mind. And that's where we think, well, how am I going to be happy if I just go into just doing this? That's not your understanding. Your understanding is, I'm only happy because of the past. No. When you have the right intention, things can change in a blink of an eye. That's the whole point of all of this. Things can change in a blink of an eye. And he says here, he felt sorrow in his heart. Now, when a person performs a mitzvah, the power of the mitzvah has to go. It can go up to five levels of spirituality. It's the highest light. And this is where the pasuk always says, and one of my favorite verses that I always say all the time, through joy you will go out. So the whole point, but why does this work on a scientific level, on a spiritual scientific? Because when I am at joy, right, my mind opens up. And then because of the joy, I create an arousal above. That causes the salvation. You understand? It's the power of you being in joy that causes the salvation. So when I adopt a positive attitude before an event, what happens is I create a spiritual arousal above. And now the name Yudke Vavke, which is the name of 26, now rules over me. You understand? So it's like when you change your attitude, you actually have a different name that takes care of you at that time, which is an incredible concept. I'm under the 86 number. That's the name of nature. How do I get to 26? I'm under 26 by adopting a positive attitude. By, again, relying on the concept that the emunah has to be above the intellect. The arousal of the higher world is causing through performing the mitzvah with joy, like we just said. Every person, by performing a mitzvah happily, can affect the blessing on the entire world. Fortune is one who performs the mitzvah because he can actually change the whole world. So this is where, again, how many times do these soldiers tell you, if we are united, nobody can beat us. It's not a war outside. It's a war inside of us. Everybody will tell you the same thing. If we are united, we're indestructible. But if we're not, the enemy comes. You understand? If I have faith in my life, I will get through this test. If I don't, the test is going to come up for me. It really has, if you really look at it, has very little to do with the situation. It's more to do with the attitude in the situation. I can't express this enough to you. This is completely the opposite of thinking that you would normally think. This is the opposite of what you're taught in school. This is the opposite of what you're taught in life. It's completely the opposite. It's completely the opposite. It's when you're able to go radically put your mind in a better situation and be besimcha, regardless of what's happening, is what's going to get you out of a situation. Why? Because every time I'm with joy, I'm drawing the light of salvations. It's exactly why. That's why the whole concept of Purim, joy. It's because if you can't get to that place of joy, then you'll never see a salvation. And again, think about what's stopping us. What's stopping us is our sechel, is our mind, which is controlling. I need control. I need certainty. I need validation. It's not God. It's our limited mind. So we always need to go above the mind. This is why one should be spiritually sensitive and should direct all his blessings above his sechel, above his logic. Because it's his logic that's bringing him. And therefore, it's necessary to draw faith into the blessings of intellect, for one should not rely upon his intellect solely. This corresponds to the verse, which is a famous verse, a man of faith, abundant are his blessings. And his hands were with faith. So when a person has faith, he has blessings. When there's a lack of faith, there's no blessing. And again, faith, the soul, and joy are all one concept. So Rav Nachman says faith and joy go hand in hand. Anytime there's joy in your life, it's because you are able to think greater than the current situation that you're going through. And when there's no joy in our lives, it's because we cannot think greater than the current circumstance. It's that simple. Now, that's the concept. Now you have to beg God to help you because your mind is going to throw you all kinds of directions. Well, why should you be happy? How about if it doesn't work out? How about if it this? And how about if it never? How about if you're never going to be happy with this person? How about if that person doesn't change? And then blah, 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 blah. The Grand Prix. I just went to Monte Carlo. The Grand Prix in your head, right? The Grand Prix. This is that. That's going to work. Blah, 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 blah. So you have to shut the noise down. You have to shut the noise down and just be happy for absolutely no reason. Just because of this concept that through faith you will see a salvation in the situation, and I have seen this 1,000 times in my life. I always say through faith, through joy, you will go out. So what I do is I put myself in any situation I'm in. I already picture the best case scenario of the situation. I already put myself into the feeling of the best. How would it feel if the situation would be over? If the situation would be fixed? I walk around like it's all fixed. And then when I do that, the situation happens. That is the law of attraction. That is the spiritual law of attraction. To already put yourself into the situation like you're already walked out, like it's already solved. Act as if. Faith it till you make it. It's pretty much that's the attitude. It's because when you adopt a better attitude in the test, that creates, then you're serving God with simcha. Because you're happy. And then all of your arousal takes care. Now the opposite is not to do this. And then what's going to happen? You're going to have emptiness. And the emptiness is going to lead you to all kinds of other dysfunctional problems. Such as sex issues, money issues, etc. And that's going to be a problem. So you could really, really decide which area you go. Rav Nachman teaches that The reason why we all have to go through this is it's exactly what our job is in this world. And listen to what he's saying here. Rav Nachman's teaching, we see that in the future, when the Jewish people will permanently leave exile, they'll have tremendous joy, and all the evil will be destroyed. The question is, what value does it have for us in the present, in this long exile? the sorrow and that are constantly growing daily. What could we do to overcome this misfortune? Reb Nachman says here is that when a God wants to bring a salvation to the future, he brings it currently. So you always have to believe that the salvation will come. Because again, he's going to bring it. But Reb Nachman asks, how can I be happy when I have so many problems? He says, borrow it. Borrow it. You have no money. What do? You borrow it. Why? How do you know you're going to pay it back? Guy gets a loan on a house. How does he know? How does he know he's going to pay it back? Faith! Otherwise, nobody would have mortgages today. Think about what happened in 2008. The market shut down. 2008, nobody was lending. What did it become? Toxic assets. Right? Nobody had trust anymore. There was no movement in the market. So what happens? Nobody, this one stopped lending, that one stopped buying. No faith. What happens? Toxic assets destroyed. So money has to move. Zeus. Money's Zeus, has to move it. So Reb Nachman asked him, well, how do you do it? You borrow it. From our lesson, we can understand what Reb Nachman meant, that we should borrow joy from the future redemption, when God will bring a salvation to all the Jewish people. That's what he's telling you. So today, I'm giving you, you should be in debt. You should be in simcha debt. Okay? You should be in, this is the positive debt. You should be able to borrow your joy. I mean, and that's what you ask people all the time. You know? We'll laugh when this is over. Right? Why not laugh now? That's the whole point is, don't laugh when it's over. Laugh now, and then I'll leave. And this is the story. This is the reason why I always throw cheesecake parties every single time I'm having a situation. It's because I want to put myself already. I want to put myself already in. Through joy, you will go out. Because the minute I feed the negativity, I stay there. So it's either you're feeding the cheesecake party or you're feeding the stupid problem. Mm-hmm. What are you feeding? You're feeding something. So I always put myself already in the celebration. I put myself in there. And that's years of discipline. Thank God that God has tested me many, many times in these issues. And I somehow, when I adopt the right attitude, because remember, God always has to test you. It's not, why do I have problems? It's when will you have them? So you have to and the reason why he does that is because he has to give you a test in order for you to prove your faith. Because otherwise it would just be boredom. It would be a rich, it would just be too much shefa coming down. Nobody would appreciate it. And we would live with absolutely no meaning. So we always have to go through these tremendous tests over and over again in our lives. But again, the main thing is, when you are in a rut, first thing you should do is go do positive actions with joy. Even if you don't feel like it. We tell people, who cares if you feel like working out or not? Who cares if you're 300 pounds, you feel like working out? You need to work out. Who cares if you feel like it right now? Right now, you're not going to feel like it because you're heavy. You're thinking of the mountain you have to climb. You're thinking of everything's going to hurt. But that's not going to do anything for you. So you have to do it regardless. And that's the same concept. We have to put ourselves regardless. So as you start doing these positive actions, you start getting the whole thing is, when you get to the positive actions, you'll have less sorrow. And the sorrow is what's keeping you in the problem. It's what's keeping you, and it's just feeding the negativity. And today, unfortunately, we have the advice today. It's very scary, because you can go to some therapist and they'll just tell you, well, you need to be validated. No, you need to get out. You need to get out of this thing. You need to be in a positive action. So a lot of you have to be careful. The advice you get today, if it's not faith-based, I'm very nervous that people, they get the wrong advice sometimes, and they try to rationalize everything. Where that's why I like the 12-step program so much, because it's all about really surrendering. You're just surrendering. You're surrendering, and the 12-step program gets you to a higher consciousness at the end of the day. It gets you to a higher consciousness because it's not rationalizing. It's really surrendering and putting God in your life. Who's telling you to rational? Who's telling you have to understand any of this? Nobody tells you that. It's putting you in. It's getting you to the light. And that's why the 12 steps really, really works. Or anything to do with surrendering and seeing a bigger light, that works. But anytime you're just sitting there in therapy forever and talking about trauma forever, you're not, the whole point is, through joy you will go out, not when you understand that you will go out. And again, how it works always is the same system in life. Is when you start believing in things, God will teach you, will explain to you rationally why the thing happened. It's not the other way around. So when you start believing in something, you'll rationally understand why you're going through that test. It's the opposite direction. Faith, then yedida. Faith first, then knowledge. Have a great day.
Amen. Wow, so sure.